Amen. While you're standing, thank you so much. Take your Bibles and go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. And we're going to read verses 45, 46, 47, and 48. 45 to 48. I'll read verse 45. You read verse 46 with me. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And then altogether on verse 48, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for your precious word. Please help us this morning, Lord, to be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, to be a people that bless you. Lord, that takes an attitude. It takes work. I pray that, Father, you'd help us this morning. Strengthen us as your people. And thank you again for your precious word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Deuteronomy is one of the famous books, chapters in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28 is that chapter. They call it the chapter of judgment. It's 68 verses. And the first 15 verses, we won't look at it, but if you've never looked at it and it's not marked in your Bible, you need to. The first 15 verses say, if you obey me, I'll bless you this way. I'll bless you this way. I'll do this for you. I'll help you with this. That's the first 15 verses. The last 54 verses, yeah, till you get to 68, the last 54 verses say, but if you disobey my word, I will curse you this way, and I will curse you this way, and I will curse you this way. In the verse we ended on, God said, I will destroy you. Now, I know he's talking to Israel and to Jews, but to spiritually apply this, it's one of the famous chapters in the Bible, and judgment is a motivator. In other words, you're supposed to do what you do. You're supposed to come to church this morning because you love God. Okay? Did everybody come to church this morning because they just love God and can't? Probably not. But you know, if you don't love God enough to come to church, then God's judgment can be a push also. If I don't go to church, I'm going to miss what God has for me this week, and I won't have as good a week as I could have had. And God can't help me like he could have had I went to church. So judgment and God saying, if you do wrong, I will curse you this way. God, I'm so glad God doesn't play favorites. It's like when you do right, you hit a button that brings God's blessing for that right action. And when you do wrong, you hit a button that activated God's curse for that sin. That's the way God designed things. And so God tells you that. And so should we do what we do because we love the Lord? And that's a wonderful reason to do it. But do you always love God like you should? No. So when you don't love God, the judgment kicks in, and you know what? I may not feel like it, but I need God's blessing. My family needs God's blessing. My children need God's blessing. And I don't need to play around with any disobedience. I want God's help. Amen? So Deuteronomy 28 kind of give you a synopsis of that. Look at the verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Notice it's a semicolon. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. And the verse ends with, until he have destroyed thee. And it's all because God says, you're not happy serving me. You're not joyful serving me. I've given you all things. You live on my earth, you breathe my air, you drink my water, you eat my food, and you can't be happy? You cannot rejoice in me? Then since I'm such a hard taskmaster and I'm such a horrible God, and you can't find any joy in me, therefore, verse 48, I'll put a yoke of iron on your neck and I'll let you destroy yourself because you won't make yourself rejoice in what God's given you. What a verse. What a verse, 47. And isn't it interesting? What would be the answer for today's fear? I love it. God doesn't lead with fear. I have nothing to worry about this morning. I have everything to rejoice about. But God says, if you won't rejoice, and if you won't be happy, you can't find any happiness in me, then destroy yourself. Have your anxiety attacks. Have your nervous breakdowns. Have your heart attacks. Have your... You know what it takes? They're saying for your blood to be healthy. Listen, this was interesting. Thankfulness and attitude is required for life. And when you lose your gratitude, your thankfulness, and your joy, your life starts, your heart suffers, your mind suffers. Isn't that interesting? God made us. Amen. And so God says, I see your heart. I see how happy you are. Or let me phrase it this way. I see how happy you allow yourself to be. And when you can't rejoice in me, I'll just let you destroy yourself. You don't have what it takes to maintain your life. You have to have God. This is amazing. While we're there in chapter 28, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but look at verse 65. This is continuing in the curses. Look at verse Deuteronomy 28. Look at verse 65. Look at verse 65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. We live in a day where there could be a lot to fear if you don't rejoice. If you don't make yourself thank God and rejoice in His goodness and what He's done, there's enough to dominate your mind to live in fear night and day, and to where you think, what's going to happen tomorrow? God says, don't live that way. In Romans, we're called overcomers, right? One of the names of Jesus is the deliverer. We've been delivered. He's our Savior. We have everlasting life if you've trusted Jesus. We have reasons to rejoice. But if you won't, then God says, then destroy yourself. Then worry. Don't give it to God. Let yourself self-destruct. Your body can only take so much fear. Remember what they said in COVID? Isolation is a form of torture. That's never happened in history to the masses until 3 years ago. You're not supposed to shut yourself off. We weren't designed for that. You can't shut yourself away from humanity. They've never done that to well people. Before, they'd only done that to sick people. Now, there's quarantine for sickness, right? Put the tent and the oxygen tent and all that. And you keep it contained. But they'd never done it to well people. They said the damage to our children that happened during COVID, stay at home, isolation, they said the damage went 2 and 3 years into the lives of the children. God didn't make us that way. You're not supposed to live in fear. But if you won't be happy, if you won't rejoice in the Lord, then God says, okay, then destroy yourself. But it won't be God's fault. Amen. Interesting verses. A Christian, just listen to these, and I want to turn to some other places this morning, but listen to this. In Psalm 32, verse 11, God says, be glad in the Lord. And rejoice, ye righteous, And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. God says to be glad in him. Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalm 68, verse 3. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. A couple more. Psalm 105 says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice, of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Go to the first book of your Bible. Go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. Genesis chapter 4, and look at verse 6. Here's the first murder in the Bible. And Cain and Abel, are time for them to bring an offering to the Lord. Abel brings a lamb. Cain brings vegetables. To bring the lamb, the blood had to be let out of the animal. A bloody death happened because only blood atones for the soul. Okay? Cain knew he was supposed to bring an animal, but instead he only brought death. He clipped vegetables, which would cause death. He brought his zucchinis and cucumbers, and he brought his tomatoes and his green beans, and he did bring death, but no blood. And he put the vegetables on an altar, and God accepted Abel's offering, but he didn't accept Cain's, which means what? God will not forgive your sin without blood. You can go to church, you can get baptized, you can treat everybody kind that you want to, but there has to be blood to pay for your sin. That's why Jesus died a bloody death, to pay for your sin. But if you say, nope, I'm going to do it my way, like Cain, God rejected Cain's offering. God accepted Abel, and Cain got so angry that his offering wasn't accepted, he killed his brother, which is a picture of people who are trying to earn their way to heaven and be good enough and help enough and give enough to earn their way. What a thought that you could earn your way to heaven. To stand before God one day and say, I was so good, you owe me heaven. God says, I owe you nothing. You broke my laws, I didn't break yours. You owe me eternal burning in the lake of fire. And people who think you can earn your way to heaven always get angry at people who trust the blood of Jesus to wash away their sin. That's 2,000 years of history. That's where your Dark Ages comes from. That's how the Catholics persecuted and butchered and burned 80 million Christians. You were baptized as a baby. What are you doing getting rebaptized? We'll kill you for that. And they did. By the millions. You de-Christianized us when you didn't accept your infant baptism. Cain gets angry at Abel for not offering, for God not accepting his works. And once you read the story, Abel's blood cries out to God. Look at verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. God had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. What's your countenance? That's the look of your face. That's how you carry, it's how you carry your face. If you're always walking around, you have a grumpy countenance. Your countenance, and isn't it interesting, God watched Cain's face. And he says, your countenance fell. Watch this. He says here, and his countenance fell, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? God knew. Have you ever noticed when God asks a question, he already knows the answer? It's to get you to think. He's trying to get Cain to think. Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? How come your face looks so grumpy? Can you imagine God saying that? He sees the heart. He sees it all. He says, but your face is messed up, Cain. Your face is messed up because your heart is messed up, right? And God is saying, it's all over. You ever heard that? If you're saved and you know it, tell your face. If you're saved and you know it, tell your face. Isn't that interesting? God says, your face says you're guilty. How you're carrying, it's all over your face. Your heart condition is all over. Isn't that interesting? God sees our countenance. Listen to this. Listen to these verses here. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. It amazes me. Somebody said, well, what's wrong with rock music? Have you seen their posters? Have you seen the rappers' music posters? What proud, nasty faces. What arrogant. They're wicked people standing on their posters like this. Everything's against humanity. It's against, they're the only, you know, they're superior. It's always in your face. What do you mean, what's wrong with rock music? You can't tell by their face. They're wicked people. What's wrong with rap music? They're wicked people. Evil people. The pride of their countenance testifies against them. Look at their face. Do they look like somebody that's happy they're living life? You won't see one doing this. You've never seen a rock poster with you've never seen a rapper. It's always. Do you know why? Their face shows the condition of their heart. It's evil. Isn't that amazing? How about this verse? Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. If this morning, if I said, God wants you happy in Him, and God's given us enough to be happy. God's good all the time. Amen. That preaches all the time. God's all the time good all the time. All the time God's good. But if you can't be happy in the Lord, and if everything in life ticks you off, and you're always waking up on the wrong side of the bed, something's wrong. You can't be, God says, you can't be happy one time, then destroy yourself. Isn't that amazing? We read it in Deuteronomy chapter 28. You can't be, here, watch this. Go to Acts, New Testament. I know we're going to skip around. I just want to show you Acts chapter 13. Look at the last verse in Acts chapter 13. And I would encourage you this way. Bring your Bible to church. I want you to see in the Scriptures that it's God's Word. It's not my Word. Amen? I want you to see what God says. Here we go. Look at verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Keep in mind what just happened. If you look at verse 50, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they, Paul and Barnabas, shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And I'll read it again. And the disciples were filled with joy and with, they just left a place because they weren't welcome there. They were persecuted. The people were chanting, "We hate you. Get out of our city." And they didn't go, "Oh, nobody likes us. They unfriended us. What are we going to do?" It says they shook the dust off of their city. Fine. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with joy. And you'll find every time someone's filled with the Holy Spirit, they have joy. Let me rephrase that. Every time someone yields to the Holy Spirit, they have joy. Every time someone submits to the Holy Spirit, every time someone lets God in their heart do what God wants to do, they have joy. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and with joy, which tells me this. If you're a saved child of God, you can have joy anytime, regardless of what's going on.
Well, Joe Biden lost the debate on Thursday night. What are we going to do? I don't know what.
You could still have joy. I did watch it. I watched it with my wife. We watched it for the comedy effect. Amen. And there were times I almost hyperventilated. Okay. I was laughing so hard. But there was other times I was like, somebody ought to have mercy on that guy. Amen. But the whole world was watching. Okay. So I said that to say, okay, our country's in a mess. You can still have joy. You still have joy accessible to you.
Well, yeah, but what are we going to do? That's the President of the United States. He's got the football.
You could still have joy, regardless of circumstances. If you were filled with the Holy Spirit, God will give you joy at any time. Or you can destroy yourself with things you'll never be able to change. What are you going to do about the president? They don't want to know what you think. Well, I just need to call them and try it. Right, leave a message for the president. I'm sure it won't get listened to. God says, don't destroy yourself over what doesn't matter. Nations come and go. That's history. I love our country, but there's nothing I can do. I didn't do anything to put it in this state, and there's nothing I can do to get it out of this state. I didn't do this, but I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and the Bible's true, and I can always have joy. I can always have joy. Here, go to Galatians chapter 5, then I'll try to give us a few applications. In Galatians chapter 5, God tells you how to walk in the Spirit so that you can have joy at any time. Actually, there's so much in the New Testament on this. We're just gonna touch a little bit of it. There's so many places we could go, but you got to get the basis of this. Watch this. Look at verse 16, Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The benefits of being yielded to God is you won't do things that you're not supposed to in the flesh. Yield yourself to the Lord. Walk in the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Your flesh is always battling against your spirit. There will always be a pull to do wrong. It never stops until one day this old fleshly body gets laid in the grave and I get to be set free and on my way to heaven. Amen. That's when the pull stops. But for right now, part of me, the part that Jesus saved, wants to do right, and my flesh wants to do wrong. It enjoys the wrong music. It enjoys everything that's wrong. And God says, these are always fighting. Look at verse number 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then he's gonna list the works of the flesh. Watch. Verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. That's why anytime you can tell if you hate somebody, you know you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. I could take you through any one of these. God gives you these traits so you can say, if I'm experiencing this and not controlling my flesh and hating somebody or at variance, I'm going to get even, or emulations, that's in competition with somebody, or when I'm angry with somebody, you know you're not filled with God. Your flesh is having a heyday, and you should be able to recognize that. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. He says here, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Interesting to look up all those. That's not the Bible study this morning. Envyings. Somebody got something that you thought belonged to you. You know when that happens, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If somebody got something that belongs to you, God's keeping the books. It'll come out. And if you took something that belonged to somebody else, it will come out. God will handle it just fine. It won't be on your timetable, but God will handle it. In other words, you can either give it to God or you can become a nervous wreck. Well, what's going to happen with this? And here, keep on going. It says, revelings, that's parties. There's drunkenness, murders, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you all, also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You lose your inheritance, or what's waiting for you in heaven, when you live in the flesh. You can't lose your salvation, but can you lose your rewards? Yes, if you live in the flesh. Look at the next verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. If you yield to the Holy Spirit, God says the first thing He wants to bring forth in you for others, the fruit of the Spirit, is love. The next one would be joy. And the only reason God can't give you joy is because you don't yield to the Lord. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not my fruit. Joy doesn't come from me. It comes from the Holy Spirit when I yield to the Holy Spirit. I don't have love to give people. God can love others through me, but I don't have love to give to people. Neither do you. But if you would yield to God, God gives you love to give to other people. Love, joy, peace. I'm not worried about anything. I shouldn't be. Watch this. This is a wonderful, wonderful test. If I'm worried about anything or if anything's making me nervous, then God's not in control of me. I'm too worried about everything else. The fruit of the Spirit, what God wants to bring through your life to other people is love, joy, peace, all that. Joy comes from the Lord through you to other people if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit. What a verse. It's a wonderful topic. It's a wonderful thing to focus on. How can you have joy? Go to Matthew chapter 18. I think there's a lot in the Bible on how to have joy. One, the very basic step is if you just put God first, if you'll just love the Lord, God can give others joy through you, and you can have joy. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can rejoice if you'll let yourself be happy in the Lord. What's that come from? Me focusing on what God has done in my life. Look what God's given me. My clothing, my food, my house, my salvation, my Bible, my church. Look what God has done. I'm thankful for that. And I can rejoice in the Lord and say, thank you, God. I'm just trying to get you to think this morning. When was the last time you told Jesus, thank you for saving you? Thank you for saving me. That ought to be done every day. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross for my sins and rising again from the dead and shedding your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, that my sins are all gone. That's rejoicing in the Lord. Well, you say, but Washington's doing this. They'll always be doing something stupid. Well, what's going to happen with the election now? How's they? Are they going to replace Joe Biden? Who cares? It's rigged. I promise, whatever's happening is already planned out. There's a reason the debate was the earliest it's ever been in American history before the conventions. It's rigged. Get your mind off that. Get your mind on the Lord. Put God first. Let God have first place. And He can give you joy. You have so much to be happy in the Lord. Amen? Watch this. For them, death is this is as good as it gets. That's why they live the way they do. For me, this is as bad as it gets. When I die, my life gets better. It's far better to be with the Lord than here. Amen? Now, for them, I understand it. I understand. That's why they party. That's why they live like animals. That's why they do what they do. Me, I'm on a different playing field. Amen? I'm on a different wavelength. I have reason to rejoice. Christian, you have reason to rejoice. Here, Matthew chapter 18. Watch this. How can you have joy? Okay. Look at verse number 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So 490 times you're supposed to forgive somebody when they do something wrong to you. The same thing. Bottom line was, lose count. Don't keep track of it, right? Okay. By the way, that's easy preaching, hard living. Jesus didn't say trust everybody. If somebody's constantly stepping on my toe, oops, sorry, forgive me.
Yeah, I forgive you.
Okay, next time they walk by, I'm going to move. I'm not going to go, there it is. That's 328 for you. 329. Sure, I forgive you. That's not what he's talking about. Forgiveness is one issue. When wrong happens, if somebody apologizes, then God says, you let it go. What's interesting is, what do you do when they don't apologize? You better not self-destruct. You better still forgive. But trust is earned. Forgiveness is a decision. Okay? Two different worlds there. However, forgive. Lack of forgiveness will always destroy you.
Well, yeah, but you know what they did to me? They did this.
Lack of forgiveness will always destroy you, no matter what they did to you. Here, keep on reading. Look, Jesus gives a parable, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. If it was gold, Doesn't say whether it was gold or silver. It was gold. If it was gold, it would be $300 million. If it was 10,000 talents of silver, it would have been $20 million. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, the one that was forgiven, and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. If you in its most money, 100 pence of gold would have been $17. If it was silver, it would have been less than a dollar. 17 pence. So he finds somebody that owes him. He just owed at least $20 million. Right? It was forgiven. Here we go. It says this, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Sound familiar? It's what he had said. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. That's how come Jesus saved you. Because you believed him enough to trust his word when he said you're a sinner and on your way to hell and he died for you. You trusted him and he saved you. And when he saved you, he forgave you all of your sin. It's all gone. Everything you had done, are doing, and ever will do. Past, present, and future, all gone. All sins gone. He says here, because thou desirest me, verse 33, shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Verse 34 is what I have marked several times in my Bible, and his Lord was wroth. That's an interesting, I know it's small case L, but it appears to me, Jesus teaching this, he's saying it angers God when you don't forgive. So God says, I forgave you all of that, and you won't forgive somebody else? How dare you? What arrogance. What's wrong with you? The Lord was wroth with him who wouldn't forgive, watch, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So what does God let happen when you don't forgive? When you won't let it go? When you won't cancel the debt? What does God let happen? You get tormented. Because have you ever noticed the person you don't forgive is the person you're thinking about in the morning when you get up, and the person you think about before you eat. It's the person that you think about at night before you go to bed, and you're tormented with unforgiveness. I can't believe they did that. Boy, if they ever give me a chance, I'm going to get even with them. I can't even believe. And God says, fine, then live that way. Destroy yourself. You won't forgive? After I forgave you, destroy yourself. Have your anxiety attack. Have your insomnia. Have your nervous breakdown. There's a better way to live. How do you have joy? I think one of the first things you do in the Bible is you make sure you forgive. You make sure everybody keeps accounts receivable and, you know, debits and, you know, all this, and everybody's got a receipt list. You burn the receipt lists. You know, they didn't do me real wrong, but they did, you know, about 5 years ago, they did this. Now that person over there, 10 years ago, they did this, and one day I'm going to get, you got all these accounts. Everybody owes you this and owes you that. You need to let it go. There's a better way to live. Because right now, God describes you as tormenting yourself. You're as the book of Jeremiah says, a terror to yourself. You're your own terrorist. You let people's wrongs, you live as if there's no God. Did God see it? People can't, you can't mistreat somebody else and get away with it. I don't care if it's you can't hurt a child and God wink. God doesn't wink at that. You can't wrong somebody else. God sees it when somebody deserves this much payment for a job done and here, this will be enough, and you cheat them off. God sees all of that. God says an unjust balance is an abomination to the Lord. God sees all of our business dealings. Just do right because it's right to do, and so you don't live in torment and fear. Well, I hope they never find out. I like what one person said. Mother Owens was the one who taught us this. He said, when it's time to sell your car, make sure you're honest enough with the person buying it that 2 years later you could win them to the Lord. Or did you cheat them so badly on the car they could care less what you have to say about the Bible? Because your car was a piece of junk. But you got over Kelley Blue Book value on it. You do right for you. You do right for your sake. A good man is satisfied of himself. I didn't do right for you. I did right for me. Because I got to sleep with myself and I got to live with myself. And I hope you're happy with what I did the best job I could. That's the way it ought to be done. But I got to live with me. I did right for me. Forgiveness, lack of forgiveness is the fastest way to an awful life where you don't let it go. Christian, the basis of your forgiveness for others is supposed to be God's forgiveness for you. If God could forgive you of all of that, then what has somebody done to you that is much wrong, much more wrong than how you've treated God? Amen? That's the basis. Forgive. The word forgive, to release, to send away, to completely cancel, to let go. Isn't it interesting? Go to John chapter 20. What's the fastest way to joy? Forgive. John chapter 20. Go to John chapter 20 and look at verse 21. Verse 23 is what I want you to mark, but look at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again. So Jesus rises from the dead. He appears to the apostles. Peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me. Even so send I you. There's the commission. Praise the Lord. Verse 22. Watch. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. There's a lot in that word receive. It means this: accept the fact that you're the dwelling place of God. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. And that word receive means realize that from now on, God lives in you. Receive the Holy Ghost. Then, the next verse is very important. Watch. He said, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Isn't it interesting, at the end of verse 22, it's not a period. He doesn't say receive the Holy Ghost, period. He said receive the Holy Ghost, colon, whosoever sins ye remit. What's the word remit mean? The word remit means to let go. It means to cut free. If you will remit or let people's sins go, then they are remitted or cut free or forgiven. But notice what happens when you don't. Look, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You won't let it go? You don't want to forgive? Well, no, you don't understand what they do. Then you're binding their sins to yourself. Everybody see that? Jesus said, the fastest way to joy is let it go. Let God handle it. Quit deciding you're the judge and everybody answers to you. Wrong is going to happen. We live in a sin-cursed world with sin-cursed people and humanity. Wrong is going to happen. Let it go. Give it to God and have joy. Rather than, one day I'm going to get them. Boy, they better, when they least expect it, it's going to happen. And you're going to grow up and be a nasty, grumpy old person. You are going to destroy yourself because you bind people's wrongs to yourself. And then what's it say in Romans? You get angry at people for doing this, you do the same thing because you wouldn't let it go. You bind it to yourself. Forgiveness, they say the two hardest things in the Christian life start with the letter F. Faith. Trusting God, because God said it, believing it, and forgiveness. It's hard. This is not easy. This is not, oh, okay, you're forgiven. The best way to forgive is start praying for the person that wronged you, because you can't hate somebody and pray for them at the same time. Are you having a real hard problem with it? Are you having a hard time letting it go? then drop to your knees and ask God to help them. And watch the hate go away. Lift them up to the Lord in prayer. Look, if they did that wrong and they're not willing to say they're sorry, is their relationship with the Lord messed up? Are they happy in life? They're miserable. Somebody needs to pray for them. Amen? If I love you, I want you happy. Right? What a verse. This morning, you could take the topic of joy, and we might hit it some more here, but what does God say you have to do to be a joyful Christian? You're commanded to be a joyful. I'm going to end where we started. God says in Deuteronomy, because you would not serve me with joyfulness of heart for all things that I give you, therefore, destroy yourself. Be a grump. Be a jerk. All you think about is how life centers around you and all the wrongs that have happened to you. Then live that way. And watch your life dwindle. And watch this. You know who gets blamed at the end of their life? I've had such a hard life. And it's always God that gets blamed. I don't know why God did this to me. God didn't do that to you. You did that to you. You destroyed yourself because you would not forgive. Because you would not forgive. This morning, I wanted to show you how important it is that you thank God and that you be joyful. And if for some reason, if you're sitting there, I've had bad days. I'll have other bad days. But at least when I'm having a bad day, I should be able to say to myself, Greg Nash, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit right now. You're a grumpy jerk. You should yield to the Lord and let God help you be thankful and happy. Greg Nash, get right with God. I should be able at least be able to recognize when I'm struggling that the problem's me. It's not anybody else, right? I hope that's what a sermon could do. And watch this. When you need the Lord, can you be real enough with Him to go get alone? Say, God, I'm sorry. No one knows me like you do. You know my thoughts. And God, I'm sorry. And you tell God you're sorry. You apologize. You ask for, you've already been forgiven, but you confess it. Lord, help me. Help me, please. This is such a weak spot in my life. I'm so sensitive here. And you ask God to help you. This morning, it's an important topic. It's important that you be happy in the Lord, not Prozac. Amen? Those people are starting to freak. That the antidepressant stuff is starting to freak me out. And I can tell every time I go up to the cash register, put the things there. Hi, how are you? I'm fine, doing good. And you go, oh, it's a wonderful day, isn't it? And I was like, whoa. Ma'am, can I see your pupils real quick? Whoa, how many did you take? They're more than half of our society's on antidepressants. And what I'm watching it do to people's brains, it's scaring me, honestly. Because I'm like, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I don't think I'm talking to you. There might be too many people in there. Looks a little crowded. I'm just saying our society, they're living on the drugs. You don't need drugs. You need to forgive. Amen. You don't need drugs. You need the Lord. You need the Bible. You need to do what God said so you don't destroy yourself. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray that, Lord, please, I know this is a big topic. I pray that, Lord, you would help each person here to rejoice in you, to be thankful in you. Lord, please, help us as your people speak to our hearts. And, Lord, if somebody doesn't know you as their Savior, help them to see how simple it is to be saved, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. We'll have a short altar call.